And then we got word that Baba was coming in 58, and I think by that time I was getting a little self-conscious about our unusual environment. I would never share with anybody. I just thought they would think we were total cranks and kooks. And Liz's memory of going down with me is that I was a real grump. And normally I was a pretty, outwardly I was a very cooperative, sweet child, and then I was pretty grumpy when I went, whiny and I don't remember seeing Baba for the first time after a long time. Just remember being with him. I'd sit at his feet in the bar and spend a lot of time watching his feet. And my memory of it is, and you have seen movies of Baba, and his feet are relatively calm, but they seem just as active and as expressive as his hands. I was just happy to be there. I knew Baba was God. I knew intellectually, and I knew in my heart. I knew that that he loved me. And my intellectual, I had a fulfillment. God had to fulfill this requirement that I had, that I knew that God would love everybody no matter what, that there was no hell, there was no irredeemable person. And even though I was a pretty sweet, nice little kid on the outside, because of my experiences in the world, I was reacting with great bitterness, and I would have gory fantasies of great mayhem and bloodletting of people who weren't particularly nice to me. And yet Baba loved me anyway, so therefore he was God. It was, there's kind of an illogic in the logic, which is what I liked about it. It was kind of a twist, you know. But I was very reluctant to let anybody else know he was God. I just kind of kept it to myself, and I kept the joy and the excitement to myself and wouldn't express it to anybody. I didn't want anybody to know how deeply I was involved with loving him and how important his attentions to me were. Liz could probably tell the story better than I, because I don't remember it. My recollection is that I didn't remember it 5 minutes after it happened. I do remember people saying, well, what did that feel like? And I sort of wonder if I went, well, I don't know, because of my reluctance to share my feelings, or because I don't remember. And for now, for sure, I don't remember the experience. But Liz tells me that Baba was discoursing, and he leaned sort of across as he was gesturing to someone else in the crowd, and started to hit me with his left hand on my forehead. I mean, really, bang, slap, knuckles, flicks, sort of rubbing, hitting. My mother said it could be heard in the back of the barn. I asked Liz, what was I doing? Was I flinching? Because my mother went inside. Gee, doesn't that hurt? You know, what's he doing to her? But she said I was just sitting with a great big face, smile, and eyes wide open, just staring into Baba's eyes. And I don't remember that. At times I really wish Baba could remember that, but I just, well, when and if I need to remember it, I know Baba will give it to me or not, you know, whatever. It's in his time, for his purpose. But just having that intellectual knowledge that he did that to me is comforting. No, I don't. And yet, I'm convinced I was in there with him. Because that's where everybody went to meet him the first day. And I spent so little time talking about my experience that I was kind of overwhelmed by it. So my memory is more of what other people had to say about their experience in the lagoon cabin. So I felt like I was there too anyway. I was there. No, I don't. That's okay. I don't remember being in the lagoon cabin. I remember the children's birthday party. I remember waiting for Baba to arrive. The cake was there. It was under a great big screen thing. Bob, she's over here.
Okay.
Cake was really beautiful, and I remember the garland was there waiting for Baba's arrival. And it was yellow carnations. So beautiful. And when Baba came, he was wearing his pink jacket. It was so beautiful that day. It was the yellow and the pink, and Baba was beautiful. And I believe the beginning of the party, well, the excitement before the party, I mean, it was a birthday party, yet it wasn't my birthday, so it had that Alice in Wonderland quality of the unbirthday party. And there were, there was talking about, this is the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. This is the original unbirthday party. And we were, we all kind of marched in, all children marched in to the tune of the March of the Siamese Children from The King and I.
We marched in where? Where did you march into?
Into the circle of people, though. You know, children were brought forward. Generally, it was a mad scramble. We had to squeeze through, but this was, I mean, even though you, I still look at pictures, movies of the birthday party and see that the adults are just, you know, really, it was tough to get through. And one of the strongest memories, there was a little girl there, a Spanish child who had diabetes, and she couldn't have any prasad, she couldn't have any lemonade, she couldn't have any cake. And I was really, it made an impression on me. I felt very badly for her. And it's strange, because I wasn't a sugar kid. I just thought, what an awful disease for a child to have. Then one day, I don't know, I was playing in the compound. It was a rainy afternoon. Bob had given people permission to go shopping or to go rest. And he was going back to his house to work. He'd already called the men and the boys to his house. He'd called the women to his house. My mother comes running and said, hurry, Baba wants to see any little girls that are around the compound. And we ran and jumped in Liz's car. I was concealing my inner excitement. Okay, Mom. We drove over there, and we got there, and Baba was sitting on the porch. Now, my memory tells me that Baba was sitting seated on the ground, cross-legged, because we were eye level. But I think he was in too much pain. I talked to Erich about that, and Erich didn't confirm that image that I had, that Baba would sit in a chair, but he was with the children. He was at that level. There weren't many of us, five. Girl children. We went in that front door of the porch. Baba was at the end of the porch, and we were told to sit on the floor around him, and I was the biggest and the oldest, so I let the little ones kind of sit in front of me. Some things were said, and then Adi would take one little girl at a time and bring her closer to Bob, and Baba would give her a gift. I don't remember what the other girls were getting. And a hug and a kiss, and they leave. And Baba wasn't picking me. He picked this little girl, he picked that little girl. It was very random. It wasn't the closest one next. And I'm going, just don't ever, never pick me, please. And I just sat there, not even breathing a hair, because I was afraid that I would be that person who was irredeemable. And finally, there were no little girls left, and Baba called me to him, and I kind of scrambled over to him, sat in front of him, and he put two bracelets on my wrist that were much too small for me. We had to soap them off afterwards, but my mother was watching through the screen window, and he said they just kind of went on. It was an alteration of matter. And I remember just looking, just my whole frame is just filled with Baba's face and his eyes, and that there was a moment of meeting and then a hug and a kiss, and it was all too fast. It was always over too soon. Before you knew what was happening, I guess, before, you know. Okay, go. And than the event of it was over so quickly, and getting on the bus to say goodbye to Bobby, and my heart breaking. Yeah. No, it was up in Wilmington Airport. And I remember nothing but sobs and pain all the way. Yeah, he was leaving to say goodbye at the airport. And I knew I'd never see him again. I didn't go. My mother and I, our circumstances were not that we could go. The night before she thought she could pull it off. Because she helped Aunt Conlon get her visa that day. And so she, you know, that kind of stuff just doesn't floor her. But she had she really couldn't. She's thinking of coming soon, though. And she's got her act together. And this is the first time I've ever been here. When I was about 15, I started pulling away from Baba. And I was really hostile. But something would happen, you know, a near catastrophe, driving, or, you know, anything that happens, and I go, Baba. And then I kick myself. I said, what's a good atheist? There's no such thing as God. That stupid old man. And it really touched my heart. One day this spring, I was at the I live in North Myrtle Beach now. Baba just, when he reeled me in, I came in real fast and real close. You know, in one lifetime to have the Avatar and Myrtle Beach and India was like really stunning. December, I married Bob on Christmas Eve. And he was living down there. He knew about Baba. Yeah, he was living down there. Yeah. And we got married and stayed, you know, found a lovely. Well, when we left, he was working for Denny Moore, who used to be a caretaker at the center, who has a tree service. He cuts down trees, tops trees, firewood. Yeah. So that's what he was doing when he left. Whether he continues in that business, 39 is... I mean, it's rough. It's hard work. It's really hard work. And but it got us to India. It really did. No, this is his first time also. It was really funny when we met. It was my first time back at the center. He arrived the day before I did. And when he arrived at the gate, he came with all his worldly possessions and two suitcases. He had a box or two of books elsewhere. Yeah, because I found it was of a different quality. When Baba announced the Sahabas, of course, months ahead, one of Baba's orders was no gifts. Well, she found herself involved in the Meher Baba sewing circle.
Yeah, because there is a mention that Baba made sewing in New York. Again, I wonder what that was.
Well, these women were going to get together and they're going to make pillowcases and handkerchiefs and simple things for Baba. Totally, totally not remembering. I mean, the order just went out of her mind. And she even rationalized buying a new sewing machine for herself. She said, well, I can't sew things for Baba on a dinky old sewing machine. I have to get a new sewing machine. So she did that. I don't know what it was that she made, if it was a hanky or a pillowcase. And she wasn't pleased with the result. She said it was a very pathetic little pillowcase. And was called to the lagoon cabin the first time to see Baba had the pillowcase in her hand, walked in the door, the screen door slammed behind her, and all of a sudden she remembered no gifts. And she said she wanted to turn around and claw her way through the corner. And she said, being a Gemini, I slapped myself on the face like this. This is all internally going on, she's imagining. She said, you're going to ruin your life over one mistake. Where are you going to hide anyway? There is no place in the whole universe to run. So she kind of turned around sheepishly with this pathetic pillowcase in her hands. And Baba just said, it's okay. she learned the lesson very quickly, you know, but internally she, at that moment, it was like just right through the wall. I don't know if they got together and did it, or if it was, you know, someone organized it and called on the phone, because we all live, we didn't live in New York City, so I don't imagine she, maybe the women in New York got together and did it, but we lived about an hour from New York City. Perhaps someone organized it and said, well, why don't you make a pillowcase and what can you sew, and, you know, like getting together a potluck supper, everybody just does it elsewhere but brings it together.
I'd like to ask.
Hello.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you remember, but when I was there, I was asking some things about Mara.
Yes.
And I just wanted to get a little bit more about your impressions. Like just now, for example, you were telling us that when she went out, she had to cover her ears.
Yes. Not when men were near. You see, she even, I think they even put the cloth over her head, but for sure. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, she was very, very much in seclusion. You see, coming from outside, I would not at that time realize that she was the chosen one. Yes, and also in Cannes. There were always the four together, Mera, Mani, Korshet, Nadja, and you see, there were always to be three. And if Mera even went to the toilet, they would stand outside the toilet, or at least one Korshet or Mani. Yes. It still was, she was as strict. And you see, no man came in the house that would see her. And in India, after the, you know, in 38, Haiti took photographs.
We had.
And then the photos that were taken in Cannes and after it's in India, we are not allowed to be shown any photos with the girls, but especially Mera. But it wasn't stressed like this. Like Baba didn't stress so much before that he was the avatar, but we felt he was it. And if you are not very inquisitive and you're watching all that, you would not, you would just say that they are the girls. And we didn't realize that she, that time. And so when people say, oh, they knew all along, it can't be true. No, when I was in India, even living in India first, I didn't know. We were on the tour all the time. And then Baba said I should keep as much as I can to Mera. And once upon a time, and I didn't do the animals and didn't do show sewing or knitting. And when I didn't work in the hospital anymore, then Baba said keep with Mera as much as you can. I used to help her to keep Baba's clothes clean.
So where was that, at
Mera? You see, I can't know exactly, but it was between 38 and 46. Yes, and really, I think the first time, and then when they came to Cannes, you see, they were by traveling over shelter. But in, I think in America, the first time really Mera came into contact with a man was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And after in Switzerland with a doctor.
Andina.
Yes, Andina, yes.
Now, had you known him before?
No, Haiti recommended him and others because he was one of the best doctors down there.
He was a plastic surgeon or a neurosurgeon?
I can't tell that, I don't know. But he was very known and a very good doctor.
That was in
Zurich? No, this was in Locarno. Because we were staying in Solduno. And in one of the books, it is, I think it's in... but I told him. It says Lucerne or Lugano. Which it was, so I, when I'm now going rereading books, every time I make notes what is wrong, either I can send it to you and you tell the different people, or I have to send it individually, but I think it's better if I make the correction to you, because then you are sure they get on the right place.
So that's what I wanted to ask you, because you had said before, also Baba said you keep as close to Mara as possible.
Yes.
During the day, you would help her with the work.
Yes, and also we would stay, talk together, or also do some sewing or knitting and something. So he told me, I couldn't stay, stick to her all the time. But he had told me separately that I should see that I'd be as much as possible with Mera.
Because she does talk about you more.
Yes, and you see, she also, we had...
More fond of you.
Yes, and we had we had certain similar things. The horses. Like horse, yes. She used to have a horse when she was young. Then Barbara had horses. I used to look after them. So you see, we had. I mean, I'm not Mera. I won't say that, but we had a lot of mutual interests, and she was very well brought up, and I appreciated that very much.
Refined,
yes. And her nature, I also liked. She was humble, but she was not weak. She was very strong, but humble. You see, it was difficult sometimes. Barbara sort of asked the advice. Mera, what would you do? So if Mera would choose, he said this or that, Mera had to say honestly, not by selfishness, but honestly, what she would now prefer. And sometimes people got annoyed because it was not that they think Mera said it and not Barbara. But Barbara made her say because it was Barbara's word. But we had also to slowly begin to know that if Mera does something, it's really Baba's work. So, like this, slowly we are brought in. But you see, she never would do anything that Baba disliked. She never would, you see, she was humble and obeying, but she was not like we could call meek. But she could also keep quiet. No, I think she was really, I mean, Baba's... has chosen her. And so, but you see, like Baba had to go to Padma Marjari, probably Mera had to be first trained from Baba. But it's really perfect love.
And do you have any sort of examples on a day-to-day level of that perfect love, like how touching? Would you be there when she was with Baba?
Yes, well, you see, when we were gathering around Baba in that in the girls' room in Mehrabad, Baba used to sit on the first bed to the left, cross leg or anyhow, and usually Mera might comb his hair when we were there, and you see, she would sometimes press a little bit his feet. But so you see, I can't tell individual things, but general things, you could feel that there was, you see, no grabbing, no, it was just flow, it was flowing, and yet without being, you see, that's also what I find with Indian women, they are more humble than we are, but if it comes to all, they are stronger than we are.
And they're pretty strong, I'm telling
you. I know. Yes, no, no.
They're strong. They're
yes. Strong. And you see, so, although Mera had to take, I mean, Baba tested her, and she was all, she, I think she was never do, did never do something which Baba disliked.
Well, what about the other way? Like, did you notice Baba paying more particular attention to her?
Well, first, it wasn't so much. But later we saw that really because, you see, she would take it the right way. Yes, Baba did put more attention to her. And then also after she said, if you are not nice to Mera, it's like doing to me. So, hello.
Now it's 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock?
No, this is wonderful. No, no, you see... Don't have to wait. There's something else you would like to spend.
Well, I wanted to see her. Okay, you can go ahead and take a shower. I mean, are you hungry this morning?
No, I'm not sorry. You take your shower and then you come with us.
Okay.
Because we won't eat alone. Yes, and then?
Well, that was about the freedom.
Yes. Well, you see, yes. You see this? I inherited from her. She had done this. Now she came into connection. Oberholzer. Z-A-R. Holzer. E-R. O. Frida. F-R-E. No. F-R-E-I is this really. A-D-A. Frida. And she was born to a very nice family. That house is still standing somewhere between Warsaw and St. Gallen. Then her father died, and this was a textile crisis. So her mother and she, and I think she had a stepbrother, were doing cutting out the lace. Very hard work, simple work. And she stayed with her mother for a long time till she died, and then she opened a milk shop, a dairy shop, and she did all the work. And very late, she married a man who was goiter like this and who was not well. So she had a man, but it was a burden on her. But she was always interested in spiritual things. First, she followed the Christian Science, you know, those who don't believe you should be ill, and that's if you are ill, and they don't believe go to a doctor, they have women or men come to pray with you. So, but then she found out that this wasn't, it wasn't what she wanted. So she met Teddy in the early 30s, and she couldn't always come to meetings because she was poor.
She was from
there. No, she was from St. Gallen. Where, you know, I'm up there, St. Gallen is here, and Rorschach is here, so she was in St. Gallen. And she had a very, very humble flat with no bathroom, and later had flush toilet, but it was very, now they have renovated, it's wonderful, but it was a very, she didn't have central heating, and she lived, she was very refined in her ways, but she lived very simple. Very, very simple. And then, you know, she started to save money when there was something for Baba. Like at one time, there was in Germany, there was a journal coming out. It was giving different aspects of religion, you know, different masters or so on. And we paid them quite a lot in Munich that Baba's name should be printed. But when I said to Hilda, help them, she says, there are so many in Austria, why don't they get abonnees? She said, well, then they would read about other things and wouldn't read about, then they would be sidetracked, not only read about Baba. But then why should we give money in Munich? So I thought this was also crazy. And Frida, gave the money to me, either to send to Baba or to, and then Money One said, you shouldn't send, you should save for yourself. But she, I don't know how she's, but she's always money for Baba. You see, and with heart, not to say anything. That's why, and the others knew about this, but you see, she was really, I tell you, one of the most humble Baba lovers and genuine. The others always wanted to have some attention, or, you know, a little bit like Norina, they wanted to be somebody, or now like Jane. They are nice, but they feel important. And Frida was always humble. So.
She saw
when I was there. She saw Baba. I think she was the only one to come to the Tessin to Solduno. She came down. In 1956, she came with her sick husband, which was difficult for her, to come to the airport and to see Baba. And you know, also after her way of living. And I met her when she was already old, and you know, having old age pension. But she lived in a very modern 1.5-room flat, which was for old people. But she had this friend she had, who has written this down from her, was an interesting woman. She was searching, but she couldn't quite accept Baba as if she said Baba's class. But then this woman got all the strength again, and that's why she named the little booklet University of Frida Oberholzer, because she was teaching about God. And that's what I want to draw out, the things she actually said, that you could feel how she understood Baba. And she didn't know, she especially learned English for Baba. And you see later when she was very already frail and ill, because her health was never good, she had worked too hard, she was really living only by Baba's love. And when she was not well and broke her this, after a while they operated, it was fine, and then usually they died of embolia or something. But you see, she was always love. I think she was, and then she was humble.
So,
I mean, it's not, huh? Well, I can, these are dates I have all. I have all the dates written down, so I'll you give me a paper with what I have to give you answers, and then I'm sure I will do it. And you see, now I wanted to bring the booklet here. I took it to Spain, but I didn't find it. No, she doesn't always more philosophy, but you see, I can say she lived it also. And this woman said, "Oh, if she would only have learned more from her, because she was a good example." And I don't know, you see, if people don't show often, if they're meek, people don't take them so important. But I feel her love And I said, don't tell this anybody. I feel her love was more selfless than Hedy Merton. Because, but she was, really. But she also wanted to be somebody. And you see her children who were with us, she suppressed them, and pressed them towards father. They met Baldwin small. But you they should... They don't, no, they just, they have nothing against her, not before. Only the one who is away from, was away from her. You know, okay. Tobias, yes. He is a Baba lover. Same happened with, yes, somewhere there. Only he, but also with Max and Gisela, it was the same. Only Monica is in California. Yes, she's really very nice. And I think her children are also, I sometimes ride with Mani, with her little girl, which she's getting bigger. And, but they are here. They had been in the test scene in Solduno with Baba, and they were attractive. But then you see the behavior of Max put them off, the possessiveness, and also the possessiveness of Hedy. She wanted me to marry her son of his, her first husband. But then, I mean, it was not a match for me. But you see, also that son had also older girlfriends, you see, because he had a mother complex, and she kept, and Anna-Katrine, when she was married, she wanted to interfere in that way. She's, see, that's what is her, she loved Baba. But in a way, she also felt that she was sort of the most holy of the Baba of the people in Switzerland. But you see, that we don't see. So I feel that, honestly, from my point, I feel Frieda Oberholzer has been the most humble, most loving, and trying to really obey Baba's orders. Not just our own Western will, and, you know. And she really could manage to save money. Yes. Yes, and I let you know in the airport, and I, if you want to have exact dates, I can look them up. And you see, she is really, I think once Don said I should also write something about her, because she really is a sample for what Baba wants. Yes, but you see, the other ones felt themselves important. And so, and then I once said to Lisa, she said, oh, but I don't know anything about her, but it's because she's getting old, it's not her fault. But she used to correspond, and she used to tell me, how is Frieda, and visit her, and everything. But now she says she hardly remembers. I said, look here. And when I rang up Hedy that she should still give me specifically, and that time Hedy was upset, oh, well, she's dead now. But this is not the way to treat really lovers who have been real lovers. Not who are just, you know, little bit dabbled in Eastern religion or something. So in that way, is I think she was the most, and this I will, in short, I will pick out also what she said and pick out the things, and the date is there, when she was born, when she died. I have all that. Mm. Yes.
How was it for you? I mean, the last time you saw her,
yes. I tell you, I just have to. You know, first I thought many things have changed, you know, and there are less disciplines now. Of course, she keeps her, but still she can see men, and I mean, they don't touch her, but she's now really like free. And I felt that I would accept, but in fact, I was glad that. Also, many things are changed. This humble life we lived in, you don't see so much anymore. And so I thought, probably I might feel bad. But, you know, from the minute I entered India, I felt, oh, I'm at home. Yes. And when I came, I only didn't rush because Peter Booth said I should take it slowly so that I would make the best of it, not to fall in. And you see the kindness. They sent somebody special to meet me. And the mayor, she sent a car in Pune. And I mean, he went to lunch with us. Now, if I have to ask Peter if he's organized, so I'm meeting Mergy with Homa at home. And in the afternoon, I want to see Gaiman, because she was always in the ashram also. But you see, now, when I went to Merasal, I still stopped the day when I could have gone. But Anne said, you better take rest, because it's strenuous even for the others. But every time I went there, I feel better. But I go to rest after lunch. Anyhow, I can tell you, I felt as if I just left yesterday. And everything what was changed, I didn't feel it's changed. I feel this Baba's doing. And Baba, you see, predicted Mehrabad will almost be a big town later, but now how much it has grown now. And you see, the pilgrim center is something so much Baba that I'm glad that money stopped, because I'm allergic to smoke. Money stopped smoking. I said, please, money, go keep it. Because they are loving people, very nice. But they don't, they just smoke in front of Baba's photo, you know. And I think they can smoke outside, but in the this hall is really where Baba gives us the prasad. So what we should just smoke and blow it, not, it's not decent. And also you see, like, the people sometimes leave food when they are said they shouldn't leave. Because the servants are waiting and the beggars next morning are waiting. Because I ask, what do you do with the food that's left over? So, you see, these little things, but otherwise I can tell you, if Baba would not come in this door, I wouldn't be surprised. I feel as if everything that's new or talk has to be that way. And Baba somehow mentioned also before how big it would be and this would happen and this. So it's, for me, it's just a confirmation. And I feel so, you know, I don't feel I'm only staying here short. I just enjoy every moment. And now I'm lucky, the first time I ate with food that was there, but since then I'm always eating with Mera. And I mentioned only Patril once, you know, the food in Leeds. So she says she has ordered it to be made on Saturday.
If I know you.
No, but once is enough. It's a lot of work, you know. Yes. No, so I tell you, I did not feel anything strange. Oh, yes, we used to, we exchanged, and we talked for the old days. Yes, or she forgot, she always thinks I was 6 years old, for a man it's 8 years. And so you see, I felt that she would like me to be as often with her as possible. So this, it was really, now it was really good. And you see, I don't feel that Baba is not here also, because he's ever present. And so I can tell you also Mani and Rano. Rano I saw later once, but still it's even the it's even better than when he was in the ashram and like this, but because you forget that this was all Baba's work, trainers. No, I can tell you, I feel more than 100% happy. And you see, I don't haste or do anything. I just feel all is the way it has to be. Oh, I think if my hand takes on, I think I have to blow my nose. The black handbag. Oh, I have one in my hat. You see, I have a handkerchief. I keep always my medicine with me.
I don't want you to talk too much.
No, no, yes, I think if you have some question, you can always. Yes, that's about it. All right. Yes. But that's what I want to say. You know, if you're once with Baba's learning, or if you're with him, you will, in life, you will be more able to stand the world when, even if you had been in seclusion so long, the training Baba gives you. You say that training that, and you are not to cling, is that even in world afterwards, you find it easier. Because if I would have gone to work before I came to Baba, I would surely not have, you know, your character gets also more. But you, somehow, if you want to, if you try your best, Baba always helps you. And I have such clear signs for that. Even now, I felt I'm better now, I could do little. Did I tell you this, that I could do little work now? But then I felt, well, I can't go in office because everybody smokes. I could have gone to the hotel to keep the desk at the when they go for meals. But then people smoke in your face. And I can't go. They looked for somebody to replace in the new eye clinic in Haydn on the telephone. But then if I talk too much, that's no good for me. And then... yes, and only part-time. And then, you know, if somebody has a holiday or a day off or so. Then the other thing was, One doctor, she lives a little further, is a homeopathic doctor, but she lives in Germany, but has a holiday house, no fit, little further down the lane. And she sent a lady to me who was about 50 or something, or 60 maybe, who always, she wants to be spiritual, and she complains, and she gets, runs after men at her age, and, you know, she's just disorganized. I think she's a bit psychological case. So, but then this doctor said she should come to me and I would talk to her. She also plays with money. I told her, look here, if you want to be spiritual, you don't play with money. That's just not done. And but you see, if you get the crave for it. And then you see she asks for advice and she doesn't do it if you really tell her something. She could ask so many people, making herself important. Actually, she doesn't obey what... If she asks, why should she then not ask? Trouble everybody, stay and talk a long time. I always get tired from her. Yes.
Hey, do you remember the blue bus tour?
Oh, yes. But I think it's good if you ask me sort of. I can answer, and then I get stuck. Then you might not be able to stop me. Yes.
I have.
But now, the first time we started was in 39. And I still have a photo where inside the compound in there the bus stood. And all these lots of beddings on top. And then I remember Nadine wanting to take a little bit more. You know? So Baba made her sit on one of those folding stools with a coat underneath and a coat on top. And I sat next to her on a wood, you know, on those benches. And I fell ill on the way to Aurangabad. Or some place we went. The first stop we had in the
Dalapur. Cholapur.
Oh, yes, it's Cholapur, Überrhein. And so I got tonsillitis on the way going. So I was leaning with my weight over to Nadine. She was already packed with her many surplus coats and things. So she had to hold me, you know, on her bed seat, being so much older than I was. But you see, with Baba used to say if I had something, it was to teach me something and teach the others something. That when we arrived in Cholapur, the dak bungalow wasn't very big, and Baba allotted this one a chair, say for instance, non-native chair, another chair or the table to sleep on or sleep on the floor. And at that time, the mandal used to unpack the beddings. Otherwise, Baba didn't spare the mandals. We sometimes felt he was more strict with the mandals than with us, but in a different way. So, after I had that high temperature, Baba said, you sleep on this bed. And then Helen felt how this young child, she's not even spiritual, how she stays on a bed, and we old people have to sleep in chairs. But you see, it wasn't meant, but Baba taught people, also by other making others to sort of deprive them of something. But they should learn in that when you are with Baba, things are not as hard as they are when you are alone. And also on the bus, that is a funny incident. But you see, it was, however whole, hot and sticky and everything it was, and a saucepan here to bang blue things on your leg. Way of course, Baba used to not be in another car, sit in front in the bus, not at the where Elizabeth or Donkin were driving, but just if you were at the front seat. You remember?
Yes.
And so you see, you were there with Baba, you could always see Baba.
And there was a little window.
Yes. And we were always leaving very, very early, you know, at unearthly hours. And because sometimes there is only one or two lanterns, and we had to go outside in the field because there was maybe only one bathroom. And also the food sometimes Kitty cooked in the early morning. And then we had that time we had only tea. And twice tea and one meal a day. So we used to have the meal in the evening, but then the milk had gone bad or no fresh milk. The food had gone bad, and what we had was dry chapati or butter with green onions. But you see, it's when you are with Baba, it doesn't count like if you would do this on your own. Because you still feel Baba's blessing on it. And I think we were taken on a blue bus tour and saw up till Quetta to down to Ceylon, we saw, except Madras and Karachi, that places, but we were all around it, everywhere, in Calcutta, in Ranchi. But you see, Baba took us, as we could say, sightseeing.
But then I think Baba, we were a burden to Baba, but he took us to, we could then be trained to renounce him. You know, almost like beggars having to beg for the food. Of course, we got the food. And then also, you know, when we came to a place, Baba said, now the mandali are fired.